You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To stand behind this sacred desk, to my brethren and the clergy, to you, my father's children, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We have already been rejoicing, and we should keep on rejoicing. Amen. Lest I should hold you too long, turn your Bibles to the gospel according to Mark chapter number 2. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. I want to read in your hearing some 12 verses so that we might get the full context for our message today. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but only God? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. I want to tag this text, Tear the Roof Off. Tear the Roof Off. Some years ago, there was a book written for expecting mothers. And the book was entitled, What to Expect When You're Expecting. The purpose of the book was for mothers who had never been a mother to kind of get an idea of the process and the pain and everything that you go through in labor or in carrying a child in pregnancy. And so the writer took some time to pen certain things. Your body's going to go through some changes. You're going to have some mood swings. People going to get on your nerves. It's just going to be some things you go through that are unexplainable. But you've got to go through it because at the end of the journey, there's going to be a beautiful life that is placed into your hands. Don't get frustrated when you're on the journey. Appreciate the journey.
sleep now because you might not sleep when the baby comes. The book has some very valuable information. And it alerted expecting mothers on what to expect when they were expecting. You are expecting a child, and there are some things you ought to expect. And I want to say that that's significant for us as the Christians. Because most of us, if we would be honest today in the sanctuary, we have an expectation of God. And if you don't have an expectation of God, you're scaring me. Because all of us in here expect God to do something for us. If it's not heal us, if it's not give us a financial breakthrough, if it's not save a loved one, if it's not give us strength, we expect something from God. But in the process of expecting something from God, you've got to know what to expect. Because just because you have an expectation of God does not mean it's going to come easy. There's going to be some trials and heartaches and frustration and some loneliness and some tears on the journey of your expectation. So I want to put to bed right now, if you are expecting something from God, but you don't expect a struggle, baby, you in the wrong business. Because anybody that has been anything for God or been any good to God had to go through something before they became what God had called them to be. And baby, it ain't no different from you. If you are going to elevate your life and be what God has called you to be, you're going to go through some stuff. But the key is that you're going to go through it. Because if God before you, he's more than the world against you. So no matter what comes up against you, you're still going to survive it. Y'all missed a good place to shout. What that simply suggests is that no matter what happens, you're going to remain victorious. I'm in the text. Don't worry. I snuck in already. The Bible teaches us that Jesus has entered into Capernaum again. The word Capernaum simply is a village of peace, a village of understanding, a village of knowledge, right? So a village of comfort. So he's entered into Capernaum for the second time. The first time he was in Capernaum, there was a man with a foul and unclean spirit in the church, and Jesus cast the spirit out. Everybody looked around about Jesus, and they say, man, who is he? They had amazement for what he was able to do. And based upon their amazement for Jesus, word began to spread about how good Jesus had been. And so now that he's back in Capernaum for the second time, he's in the house preaching, and the house is on jam-packed. Let me see if I can pull you up out your pew. When Jesus has been good to somebody around you, maybe not even you, you ought to tell somebody so that they come in the house, jam-pack the house, so that when the word goes forth, they'll get a word for themselves. Okay? Okay? The text reveals to us that Jesus is in the house and he's preaching in the house. Now, many folk are there, and they're trying to receive a word from the Lord, and four men get together, and they decide, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to take our friend who is sick with palsy to Jesus. He has never been to Jesus, but we know about Jesus. And so because we know about Jesus, we're going to take him to Jesus. And what I love about it is they bore his burdens because he couldn't take himself to Jesus. Okay, let me see if I can help you. Every now and then, you're going to have to learn how to take somebody to Jesus who can't get there for themselves. Yeah, you can't be selfish with the God you serve. Every now and then, you're going to have to learn how to bear one another's burdens. Okay, you think I'm lying. I'm in the text. The Bible says that he is stuck to a bed. Because he has palsy, which means he cannot move. This is what the text suggests to us. He is very much so alive, but dead at the same time. Ooh, Jesus. Which means You can be alive and dead at the same time. You can talk, but not have no function. He's able to talk, but he can't move his body. And so because of that, his friends say, hey, you cannot stay in the condition that you're in. We're going to take you to Jesus. Now, their only run-in with Jesus has been at Capernaum the first time. Word has spread, and word is good enough for me. If Jesus' act was good then, it's still good enough for me. And so they said, listen, come on. We're going to take you over there. And they take him on a bed. Four men pick him up to take him to Jesus. They didn't complain. They just picked him up. I love you so much so that I'm going to make sure you get to Jesus by any means necessary. Now, their expectation was to get him to Jesus so therefore Jesus could fix him. But what they found when they got to the house is that the crowd was so big that they couldn't get through the door to get to Jesus. Let me see if I can preach this real quick. You must first understand that the people that was in the crowd, they had a right to be there. But by the same token, when you see somebody that needs to be healed, be delivered, get out the way if you already got yours. The problem in church is that we selfish. Every week it's about us. Every moment it's about us. Every now and then it's got to be about somebody who ain't got Jesus. Okay, let me see if I can put it like this. Every breakthrough is not your breakthrough. Some folk breakthrough, they just need you to be the vehicle to get them to Jesus. Okay, let me see. The four men did not misunderstand their purpose. Their purpose was to carry the man to Jesus. Not to get delivered, not to get recognized, not for people to call their name. My purpose is just to get you to Jesus. Is there anybody in here, you not too selfish just to get somebody to Jesus? This is how they used to say it in the old church. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. Took the time to pray for me. When I couldn't pray for myself, somebody prayed for me. Is there anybody in here you ever had to pray for? Matter of fact, is there anybody in here that can testify somebody prayed for me? When I went thinking about Jesus, somebody had me on their mind, took me to the throne of grace, and laid my name there until I got it right. Text reveals that said, listen, I'm not selfish. I know what he can do. You need to experience it. And if you've ever had a true experience of God, it's not one that you want to keep to yourself. You want to share that with everybody, because once God gets a hold to you, he changes the way you walk. He changes the way you talk. Is there anybody in here that can testify, I've been changed? The Bible says that they're carrying his burden and they cannot get into the house because of the press of the crowd. I love the resiliency of the four men, because they didn't say, hey, we tried it, now you're on your own. What they realized is that in the olden days, in that time, that the houses were made of clay. And what they did was they said, listen, there's a stairwell that leads up to the roof. What we'll do is we'll take them up the stairwell to get to the top of the roof. And we'll dig a hole through the roof so that he can get to Jesus. Here's what I love about the text. You don't see it, but there's some creativity here in the text. Because nowhere in the text do you see where they carry shovels. The text doesn't reveal that they carry shovels. The text reveals that they carried the man's bed up top. But they said, listen, ain't no point of us just taking you up top and we can't get you to Jesus. Can I submit unto you? It ain't no purpose in you telling somebody to come to church if you ain't gonna help lead them to Christ. Text reveals, they said, it's not just enough to get you to the church, but we gotta make sure we get you to Jesus. Here it is. says it's not enough. We got to do something different if we really want you to see Jesus. Notice here that although the house is packed, they make their way to the top of the roof. When they get to the top of the roof, they dig a ditch in the roof to let Jesus, here it is, let the man down to Jesus. Okay? They dug a ditch and lowered the man down to get to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to try it one more time. They dug a ditch in another man's roof so that this man could get to Jesus. Okay, I tried it three times. Let me see if I can give it to you like this. Sometimes you have to be let down in order to see Jesus. Y'all missed it. Sometimes you've got to be let down in order to see Jesus. It wasn't until they let the man down through the roof that he could see Jesus. Every now and then, you got to go through some heartache before you see Jesus. Every now and then, you got to be stabbed in your back before you see Jesus. Is there anybody in here that can testify? It wasn't until I went through some stuff that I saw Jesus for myself. I wish I had a church in here today that would celebrate the fact that I ain't always walked in here with my head held up high. Sometimes I went through some low points before I saw Jesus. But the worst thing about the best thing about it is that I saw him.
Say, watch it. Let me down so that I can see him. And every now and then, you're going to be let down on the journey. But no matter what, as long as you're being let down in front of the feet of Jesus, that's the best place to be let down. If you break me down, it's okay because he'll pick me up. Is there anybody in here he ever had to pick you up? I'm in the text. Watch it. I love it because the Bible reveals to us that when they let him down, notice the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Saw their faith. And when he says that he saw their faith, he said unto the man, son, thy sins be forgiven. Okay. This man here has been called son by Jesus. And not only that, he says, your sins are forgiven. Okay, so that suggests that maybe the reason why he's in the predicament that he's in is because he has sinned. Which is to suggest to us that every now and then you might find yourself in a place where you're struggling because of your sin. But aren't you glad that Jesus loved you enough that he would forgive you for your sins even when you didn't ask for it? I keep being at the cross and y'all are missing me right now. None of us asked for Jesus to die, but he loved us enough that one Friday, he died in our place. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but early the third day morning, he rose with all power in his hand. I didn't know who Jesus was, but he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Is there anybody in here that can shout just because your sins are forgiven? The Bible teaches us, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but I had many sins, and he forgave me for all of them. Watch it.
Says, son, thy sins are forgiven. Yeah. And now you got to understand, when you get set free, you get your breakthrough, you're going to have to deal with some haters in the crowd. But you must understand that the haters ain't really hating on you. Okay? Watch text. They didn't say nothing about the man's sins being forgiven. They said, who do Jesus think he is? See, most of us, we get angry because we think folk talking about us. It's really the devil coming out in them. They talking about Jesus. You better get out of Jesus' business. He going to handle the devil. You just thank God that your sins have been forgiven. Okay. I got an argument in the text, and I'm really trying to get to this one argument so we can go. Okay. Here's the next thing, right?
Deacon Ross, they said, who is Jesus? Jesus says, is it better for me to say, easier for me to say that sons are forgiven, that sins are forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk? So Jesus says something. He looked at the man. He says, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Okay, I got to give it to you. This is interesting because Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven. But the man was still stuck on the bed, which is to suggest to us that you can be forgiven and still stuck at the same time. And I want to submit, most of us come to church week after week forgiven but still stuck. Forgiven but still going through the same thing. Forgiven but we haven't let it go yet. Baby, don't you know what whom the sun sets free is free indeed? You better learn how to walk in your freedom.
Okay. Watch text. Here it is. You think I'm making it up? The Bible teaches us about 10 men that had leprosy. And the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. Not as they stood in his presence, but as they went. What am I saying to you? Baby, every now and then, you got to put some action to your deliverance. Don't you just sit there like a bump on the log. If God has been good to you, you ought to open up your mouth and tell somebody, it's been nobody but Jesus who set me free. It's been nobody but Jesus who kept me. When I thought I was going to lose my everlasting mind, it was nobody but Jesus.
Watch it. Here it is. He says to him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus, I got a question for you. Sometimes I'm too analytical of the text, but I got a question. Jesus, you ain't going to give him no rehab? No physical therapy? He ain't been walking in a while. Don't you think he a little weak? And Jesus says, listen, if I restore you, I restore you wholly. I'm not going to give you half a breakthrough. I'm going to give you a whole breakthrough. I'm not going to give you half a miracle. I give you a whole. Is there anybody in here that know that when God blesses you, he blesses you in full?
Okay.
He says, hey, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus, I got to ask you another question. Don't you think this bed stink? Why are you telling this man to pick up this stinking bed? He's been laying on this bed. His friends then dug a roof through the roof. This bed been through enough, don't you think? And Jesus says, no, I don't think so. Here's what he had to do. He had to display his deliverance. Okay. He had to hold it up high, what I had done for him. Because the bed served as his testimony that once I was stuck to the bed, but ever since I met Jesus, now I carry the bed. Here it is. My bed was my burden. Now I carry my burden as a testimony. And somebody in here right now can celebrate. I had a burden or two in my life, but now it's become my testimony that look at what Jesus has done for me. Look how far he's brought me. Is there anybody in here who can testify Jesus has brought me a mighty long way? You don't know like I know what I've been through. I've had some lonely nights. I've been stuck in some places, but thanks be unto God, I met Jesus. And ever since I met Jesus, I haven't been the same. He changed me. He changed the way I walk. He changed the way I talk. He changed my mind. Is there anybody that can celebrate Jesus? And you don't mind telling a dying world that nobody but Jesus set me free. And if it had not been for Jesus, who was on my side, I'd be like a ship without a sail. But thanks be unto God, he rescued me out of my dilemma. Watch text. The Bible says, here it is. This is the one point I've been waiting on. You ready? The Bible says that Jesus told him, arise, take up your bed, and walk and go home. Okay.
Here it is.
Ready? Jesus never had to tell the crowd to get out the man's way. Y'all missing me today. The crowd blocked him from getting to Jesus. His friends tear the roof off. Jesus delivers him, says, take your bed and go home, and the crowd just moved. Can I tell you, you spend too much time fighting your enemies. All you got to do is let God deliver you, and he'll move your enemies. You missing it? If you learn how to walk in obedience, he'll move your obstacles. Is there anybody in this place? You're not too sedated just to obey God. You don't need a rhema word. You just don't mind being obedient. It says, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Display your deliverance and walk. Go home with your bed. Here it is. Last thing, Deacon Ross, text preacher. The Bible says, and they glorified God. Okay, wait.
Wait.
It wasn't their miracle. It was his miracle. But because God did it, and I can feel the presence of the Lord in the room, I'll celebrate for what he's done for you. Is there anybody in Macedonia that ain't too sedated to celebrate what God is doing in somebody else's life? It might not be my miracle, but if he blesses you, he's in my neighborhood. And I'm amazed at his works. I'm amazed at his hands. I'm amazed at his glory. And because he's been so good to me, I'm going to raise the roof. I'll tear the roof off just to get you there. My praise will raise the roof. My praise will tear the roof off, because can't nobody tell my story like I can. Because everything I've been through, it was nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus delivered you, set you free, brought you in this place. Activity of your limbs, in your right mind. If he delivered you, let everything, I said, let everything that has breath give him glory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, you want to praise him. Oh, that men would praise his name. Let us praise him together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a text preacher, and it's about seven words left in verse 12, and it'll bless your life. Here's what he says. He says, we never saw it on this fashion. Yeah. It ain't never been done like this before. What God is doing for me, it ain't never been done like this before. I know he did some things for you, but it ain't never been done like this for me before. Is there anybody that can testify? I know he's been good to you, but he's doing something for me that he ain't never did like this before. I don't know what you came expecting, but I came expecting him to tailor make my miracle for me. Tailor make my miracle for me. Tailor make my deliverance for me. Is there anybody in here who can praise God for a tailor made breakthrough? All right. I promise you I'm done. Look, I'm cutting my phone off. I'm done. That's it. That's it. That's text. Whole text. Right? Whole text. Watch it. They came to get him through the front door. But there was no room in the front door. So they got creative and dug a ditch, dug through the roof to lower them down. And the Bible says that when they saw it, they all glorified God. Okay, here it is. This is his second time in Capernaum. The first time he came into Capernaum, he cast out the unclean spirit. They were all amazed, but nobody glorified God. But the second time around, they were all amazed and they glorified God. Okay, I promise you I'm gone so we can get to some Super Bowl fun. The first time around, you didn't glorify him. But today is your second chance to give him glory for what you didn't give him glory for the first time. Is there anybody in this place that don't mind giving God glory the second time around? I missed it the first time. I didn't understand it the first time. But now that I know you for myself, I refuse to let this moment pass me by. Is there anybody in this place? You refuse to leave here today without raising your hands and giving God glory. If for nothing else, he died for me. He was buried for me. And he rose for me. And if that don't shout you, baby, I ain't got nothing for you. Because that's all we got is the gospel. That Jesus loved us enough that he gave his life that he might die for us, that we might live forever. Is there anybody in here thankful that you're going to live because of Jesus? I'm going to live, and when I see him face to face, everything I've been through, I'm just going to say amen, amen, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.